Chicago's home for sports is live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We'll continue to take phone calls on the topic about going to the Bulls game versus the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. I pulled the question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. Is it okay for me to attend a Bulls game versus the Knicks? Well, Waddle gets inducted into the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. 44.4% say yes, it is okay for me to go to the Bulls game. 55.6% say shame on you. Shame on you. You go support your brother, your 15-year co-host. So,
if you go, don't go until 6, because I'm getting out of here at 5:30 on Thursday, so you got to stay here until 6.
That's what Hall of Famers like to do. They leave sometimes early. Duck out a little early.
It won't be the last
time. In, first out, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, last in, first out.
He's so mad. I see it on Twitch. He's so...
Who's mad?
You. I said last in, first out, yeah.
No, I'm not mad about that. Listen, I used to, when I was at WGN, my goal every night was to be out of the parking lot before Andrea Darlis started the 9 o'clock news.
Well, it's kind of like now with Fleck and Abdallah.
Yes.
You just want to hear a broadcast.
Well, exactly. But, my goal was to, when I was done, I was done. Why am I hanging around?
Right.
It was a game for me to get out of the parking lot before Andrea Darlis started the 9 o'clock news.
I love that. And what time you guys would end it? Like 8:58?
Yeah. No, like 8:55.
8:55.
I had 5 minutes to get my stuff and get out of there and get through the gate.
Get to the Tribune Tower parking lot back there.
Absolutely.
Spot 19 and spot 21.
Whatever it was.
Back in the day. Those are condos now.
But are they really?
Yeah, they rebuilt the Tribune Tower and the condos.
Yeah, I know that. I thought you meant the parking lot. I was going to say...
No, that whole building's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, so 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. For those who are just getting into their car, there was major, major Hawks news today. This investigation that's been going on since June, the independent investigation, in which, remember, back in May, Ben Pope from the Sun-Times tweeted out a quote from earlier in the day saying, back in May, the Blackhawks said, when the lawsuit first came out, there's nothing to this. We looked into it. There's nothing to it. Now they've done the 180 after the independent investigation from Jenner and Block, which is a big law firm here in Chicago, independent. They let them do whatever they saw fit. They did expose the Hawks for making many, many mistakes. Stan Bowman has since stepped aside.
They were very adamant about also saying that all of this occurred without the knowledge of Rocky or Danny Wirtz.
Yes. And I think to hear from Reed Schar, the lawyer who investigated him, is probably more important than even what Danny Wirtz had to say. And we played that earlier, and I could paraphrase what Wirtz had to say, about how important it is to be good in the community. It's more important to be a good organization away from the ice than just being a good organization on the ice. That they still respect Stan Bowman. That Stan Bowman, they feel like he would have handled it in 2021 differently than he handled it in 2010 as a first year. They stood by Stan with their words,
yes.
But he has moved off to the side. I keep saying off to the side. He's gone.
Yes, Stan he's not
Bowman
part of
is
the
gone.
Organization.
Yes, he's stepped aside. But this is Reed Schar. This is all you need to know, the 5 minutes that you just need to pay attention to, where he basically sums this up. Let me paint the picture for you. It's the spring of 2010. The Blackhawks are great. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1961, and they have now swept the San Jose Sharks to get to the Stanley Cup final against Philadelphia, and that's where Reed Schar picks things up.
On May 23rd, within an hour after the Blackhawks won the game that secured their place in the Stanley Cup finals, five members of Blackhawks senior management, then President John McDonough, Mr. McIsaac, Stan Bowman, then Executive Vice President Jay Blunk, and then Assistant General Manager Kevin Cheveldayoff, along with Coach Joel Quenneville and Mr. Gary, met to discuss what had been learned about Aldridge and John Doe. Accounts of that meeting vary significantly, and the participants had limited recollection of the details of the meeting. At a minimum, though, the senior leaders, including then-President John McDonough, were informed of alleged sexual harassment of a player by a coach, including efforts by the coach to engage in unwelcome sexual activity with that player. Several witnesses recalled and later told others about a discussion that then ensued during the meeting regarding whether the time was right to address the allegations against Aldridge in light of the ongoing playoffs. One witness recalled that during the meeting, Mr. McDonough and Coach Quenneville made comments about the challenge of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals and a desire to focus on the team and the playoffs. What is clear is that after being informed of Aldridge's alleged sexual harassment and misconduct with a player, no action was taken for 3 weeks. One witness recalled that the decision on how to proceed was left in Mr. McDonough's hands, and another witness recalled Mr. McDonough saying he would speak to John Doe. Mr. McDonough did nothing to address the allegations until June 14th, after the playoffs were over, when he reported the information to the Director of Human Resources. While there was a lack of recollection as to whether anyone else present in the meeting besides Mr. McDonough needed to or would take any additional steps, nothing was done by the other senior leaders to address the situation. As a result, the Blackhawks' own sexual harassment policy, which required investigation of all reports of sexual harassment to be conducted promptly and thoroughly, was violated. The failure to promptly and thoroughly investigate the matter and the decision to take no action from May 23rd to June 14th had consequences. During that period, Aldridge continued to work with and travel with the team. On June 10th, during an evening of celebration after the Blackhawks' Stanley Cup win the previous day, Aldridge made an unwanted sexual advance towards a Blackhawks intern who was 22 years old at the time. Also after the Stanley Cup win, Aldridge continued to participate in celebrations in the presence of John Doe, who had made the complaint. Aldridge was also permitted to participate in Stanley Cup victory events, such as hosting the Stanley Cup for a day in his hometown and receiving a championship ring even after his departure from the team. After Mr. McDonough reported the information to the Director of Human Resources on June 14th, Aldridge was then given the option to undergo an investigation into what had occurred with John Doe or resign. He chose to resign, and no investigation was conducted. Our investigation uncovered no evidence that the Blackhawks owners, including the current chairman and current CEO, were aware of the events of 2010 at any time before John Doe's potential civil lawsuit was brought to their attention ahead of its filing. This also applies to the Blackhawks' current president of business operations and general counsel, both of whom joined the organization in 2021.
Again, that's Reed Schar, who the independent investigator, lawyer at Jenner and Block. And for this guy to be allowed to continue to work for the organization, to continue to celebrate with a spot in the parade. And then when they finally do get to it in June after the celebration, that they have the HR meeting and the HR person says you can resign or we're going to do an investigation. He chooses to resign. They still let him spend a day with the cup. They still give him a ring, and they never did anything about it. They didn't go to the police. They didn't hold the investigation. He was allowed to go work in other places where he committed crimes. Can I read you this? Because I want it. I'm glad I found this. This was back from September, from the Sun Times. Ben Pope, I mentioned him once. He did great work on this in the months to the lead up of what this ultimately came to. This is about Brad Aldridge, the video guy here, and what he did after he left the Blackhawks. An investigation into Bradley Aldridge's time at Miami of Ohio University concluded the former Blackhawks video coach sexually assaulted two men at Miami in the fall of 2012. The final report about the investigation conducted by a law firm and released Friday did not mention Miami receiving any recommendation letter for the Hawks when hiring Aldridge. Aldridge has been the subject of intense scrutiny after two negligent lawsuits relating him were filed against the Blackhawks in May and June. The first lawsuit alleged that Aldridge sexually assaulted a Hawks player in May of 2010 and that Hawks management covered up the assault while quietly firing him that summer. The second alleged that the Hawks provided recommendation letters for Aldridge to his future employers, including Miami University and later a high school in Michigan, where he assaulted a 16-year-old member of the boys' hockey team. The Hawks have filed pending motions to dismiss both lawsuits. This was back in September, right, before the findings came out. They never, ever put him through the proper protocols and procedures that needed
to
take
place.
And then this is always what happens. This happens with abusers all the time. It goes, people turn a blind eye, they turn away, they don't want to, for whatever reason, I don't get it. It happened in Michigan State and with USA Women's Gymnastics with that horrible, horrible trainer and doctor. And this person was allowed to go to Miami of Ohio and to high school.
Where
the one lawsuit alleges that the Hawks gave him letters of recommendations at both places. That was not addressed today in the press conferences. There were no questions allowed to be asked. And that is the worst part of what transpired with the Blackhawks.
Yeah, there are a lot of really awful parts of this story. But that one, how he was able to get out of here and go be an abuser elsewhere at a college and then a high school is just, I mean, it's horribly unacceptable.
So there are victims here. There are victims that didn't have, that shouldn't be victims if the Hawks did the right thing, if they went to the police, if they would have stopped this when it happened. 312-332-3776. Thoughts today. Stan Bowman is out. I will read you his letter where he shines a light on John McDonough, who was the CEO at the time. Why was Stan Bowman, while this investigation was going on, allowed to make major moves with major money, reshaping this team that is now winless and hasn't had a lead all season? And where do the Blackhawks go from here? 332-3776. Anything on your mind, we're here for you.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Boom, boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, boom. Boom,
boom. You know, there could be some question, too, about Coach Q in Florida and whether he recommended Brad Aldridge. There's that part of the story. Stan Bowman today with his...
I would say this. If anybody, whoever's name is on a letter of recommendation supporting this guy...
Yeah, and Brad, if he got jobs Aldridge, off of it after what happened...
That guy or gal, man or woman, whoever was the one responsible for a letter of recommendation after knowing what had transpired, there's some explaining that needs to be done for that.
Yes, yes, especially in the wake of what happened in Ohio and then in Michigan. He served jail time. This is a man who served jail time, and you think it could have been stopped. Stan Bowman is no longer with the team. This is a rudderless ship, literally, right now for the Blackhawks, without a win this year. This is from Stan Bowman today. Since joining the Blackhawks in 2000, I have been extremely grateful for the opportunity presented to me and proud of our accomplishments. This organization, beginning with the Wirtz family, has been extraordinarily good to my family and to me. That is why today, after discussions with Rocky and Danny, I've decided to step aside. The team needs to focus on its future, and my continued participation would be a distraction. I think too much of this organization to let that happen. 11 years ago, while serving in my first year as general manager, I was made aware of a potential inappropriate behavior by then video coach involving a player. I promptly reported the matter to the then president and CEO, who committed to handling the matter. I learned this year that the inappropriate behavior involved a serious allegation of sexual assault. I relied on the direction of my superior that he would take appropriate action. Looking back, now knowing he did not handle the matter promptly, I regret assuming he would do so. I'm confident that this organization and the Wirtz family will continue to do what it takes to win the championship with integrity and with the goal of doing what is right. I am deeply grateful to the Blackhawks for the chance to manage the team, to the players for their dedication, and to the fans of this tremendous support over the years. It's been an honor to have been part of this incredible organization and to serve the best fans in hockey in the greatest city in the world. I will always cherish my time with the Chicago Blackhawks. On behalf of myself and my family, thank you. It's from Stan Bowman, who's no longer with the team. They have an interim vice president or president of hockey operations. His name is Kyle Davidson, and they will start a search immediately. So,
I mean, it's again, the story is so disturbing. Not just, you know, the abuse of John Doe, but the fact that this guy was recommended to join another program, whether it was university or Miami University in Ohio, or it was a high school. Like, how does that guy get a letter of recommendation? I mean, so many questions. How does that guy participate in a Stanley Cup celebration after you already knew that there were allegations against him?
How does the Cup go to his hometown and get to spend a day with him?
Yeah, that's...
That's months after that. Months! Tyler in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
So I just wanted to comment on the Blackhawks situation, get your take on this. I personally think that the Stanley Cup up in Toronto needs to get refixed because Brad Aldridge's name is on the Stanley Cup, and I don't think that should be allowed moving forward. What do you guys think?
I don't know what's protocol with that. With, you know, again, like look, I would love for his name never to have been on the Cup. Is it? I mean, it is in fact on the Cup for sure, Tyler.
Yeah, I just found a picture as I was waiting to get on with you guys. It is there.
Is he officially a member? Was he officially a member of Quenneville's staff?
Yeah, he was like the video coach.
Right, but I mean, he's
the video coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he would video practices, he'd video games. A lot of, you know, the scouting work and stuff like that is used by the video coach, the cut-ups from the game. But again, like, we get into this really muddy situation, Tyler, on people who have done bad things after they have won things and what should be taken away and what shouldn't be. Like, should his name be scratched out now? Should every person who breaks
this happened before something was accomplished? But
yeah,
I don't know what protocol is. I know in the National Football League, they tell you that stuff like this does not, you know, once you're in, you're in. Like, they're not going to take you out. You tell the story, but they're not going to take you out.
Like, I'm just more mad, Tyler, that no one did anything, whether it's John McDonough, who was the almighty. He was the almighty CEO. He let you know that the buck stopped with him. Every little big or small decision went through John McDonough.
I would say this as well. If Coach Q's voice was very loud, and I'm sure it was in that building, and he was an advocate for not doing anything because it was going to upset their run for a cup, and I'm not saying that is the case or not the case. I'm just saying tentatively that that is a huge issue. And that is something that he will have to answer to with his current employer more than likely.
Yes, yes. John McDonough again, though. Like, big or small, like, think about the power that he wielded in that, whether it was in the celebrations, whether he wanted a parade, whether he wanted the Soldier Field gathering, whether he wanted Winter Classics. Go, you got to keep putting us in the Winter Classic with the league.
Well, at the end of the day, he was the boss.
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. There was never a doubt. Now, Rocky owned the team, but everything funneled through McDonough before it went to Rocky. Did McDonough ever tell Rocky about any of this stuff? Was it McDonough's job to keep Rocky out of this situation, and he would sit in his row 19 seat on the 100 level and enjoy hockey while John McDonough ran the team?
I'm sure some of those details are in this report that's available that you and I haven't had access to, because as soon as, you know, the press conference was held, we came on the air.
Yeah, and we watched the whole press conference. Jose and Hegwish, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jose?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You know, this is a tough one for me because I feel like if it happened in 2009 and it was just before our title reign and our titles, they kept this hush-hush so it wouldn't get blown into the media and perhaps cause a distraction. And maybe those titles don't happen because of this uproar. So personally, in my opinion, I think it is a big deal. I think it's a slap in the face of the organization. I think it's a slap in the face who put their heart and soul into this game. And I think it's a slap in the face to the fans and people who have been a victim to this. So I kind of feel kind of disgusted. Have a good day.
Jose, thank you.
Jose, listen, I mean, I think it's a slap in the face to the victims by the organization.
Yeah.
That they took a haphazard approach to this and a casual approach to this from the start. And then they allowed this guy to be part of a celebration, and then actually gave him the ability to choose whether or not he were going to fire him or gave him the option to resign. And then somebody writes a recommendation letter,
right,
so that he can go elsewhere.
And look, the trail started in the celebration with what the investigator said with that intern, the 22-year-old intern, where there was an unwanted
advance
at him. Like, if he was properly taken care of at the time it was reported, and I talked about TSN doing the legwork and the Sun Times and all these articles that are out there, Google them. They're out there as soon as all this was being talked about in July, August, September, where their skills coach, who started this, who the player confided into, originally went to, I think, the team psychologist first. And then he went to, and this skills guy used to work in law enforcement. And then he was brought in to this big meeting with all those people in the meeting, McDonough and Blanc and Q and Bowman and McIsaac and all of them. And he said to them, I read it earlier from the TSN article, he said, you guys have to go to the police. And then Al McIsaac
sounds like he was the only one that really was being proactive about this.
Like, let them do their investigation quietly. Go to the police, report them, and if you put them on leave, whatever you do, there's no reason that a video coach at that point would cause an uproar publicly. B, cannot be replaced with another series to go. And more importantly, this is more important than anything. You know what I mean?
If, like, you're not driven to do this for the right reasons ethically, then you could also make a case to do this for legal reasons to protect yourself from liability.
Right. Just again, whatever the motivation is,
do the right thing. Like I said, it should be grounded in doing the right thing ethically. But if that doesn't motivate you, I would think the fear of retribution and being held accountable for this legally would also be a motivation for you to make sure somebody got this information.
The skills coach couldn't believe that Al McIsaac was like, we got this. We'll take care of it. We don't need anything more out of you. He's like, go to the police. Ignored. David in Portland, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
Hey, it was just following up on a report. I'm not sure if you guys have touched on it, but there's an article out there. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but it's regarding accusations that some of the players were possibly involved in making, like, threatening comments to some of the
hazing and all that stuff too.
Yeah,
and during practice.
What's most disturbing is, like, are some of those players still on the roster right now?
Well, I mean, it was the 2010 season, right?
Right.
There are. Yeah, right. Of course there are.
So, I mean, how many are left? Two?
Yeah. I mean,
Kane and Taves, right?
If this keeps going down the way it's going down, or, you know, I mean, how much more is going to come out about this, which is even more concerning.
Yeah. And again, David, like, this is an organization that was at the lowest of lows with the old man at the end.
Picked themselves up.
And they went from the worst organization in sports. They were voted the worst organization in sports to this unbelievable feel-good story. The kid, Rocky, goes against the grain from his dad, runs the team differently. John McDonough comes from the Cubs to run the Hawks. Everything is done with the PR conscious image. They go on to win 3 championships. Tickets are hard to come by. The city's into hockey. To now, a decade later, them being winless, this being tarnished, them not having a leader, and them possibly going back into this deep hole of just, how can this team do what it did? 332-3776 if you want to react to the big Hawks news of the day. You want to talk Bears, Bulls, whatever's on your mind, we're here for you. 312-332-3776.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Boy, the fall, rise, and now fall again of the Chicago Blackhawks in this city. They've got their work cut out for them to clean all this up, on and off the ice. Tim Reynolds, someone drew my attention to this, Darren did. Did you see the Florida Panthers statement?
I did.
Florida Panthers statement, at this time, Commissioner Gary Bettman has indicated that he will be meeting with Joel Quenneville to discuss the events highlighted in the Jenner Block October 2021 report. Accordingly, we have no comments.
I would assume that they would match the comments that he made over the summer, right? With some of the comments that he will now make to the commissioner and others.
Well, didn't he say, people have said to me that over the summer, he denied that he knew of any of this while it was going on.
Yeah, this is the first time hearing of this.
Right, and then it was... In the investigation, it has been said that Joel Quenneville said, you know, there's stuff about
about how this is the wrong time for this to come up as they were heading for the Stanley Cup Finals,
and that someone from HR said that he was clearly angry when this was being brought up.
Yes, I haven't had a chance to read the full, you know, the report that's been released by Jenner and Block yet because we've been on the air throughout all of it. But look. Again, whoever this sticks to, it sticks to. And you're held accountable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if somebody's name is on a recommendation letter for this guy.
No, I know. That's what.
You know, and it was a portion of the reason why he got another job at Miami University of Ohio or at another high school.
Like 16-year-old minor. 16-year-old served jail time then because of that. Dan says the same thing.
Had they followed protocol? You could have stopped these future crimes from happening.
Most of the time you can. And, right. And for whatever reason, these predators are allowed to continue their path of destruction. Dan tweeted that. He said the person signing the letters of recommendation should be prosecuted as well. Their letter directly led to the assaults at Miami of Ohio and that high school. Sweeping this information under the rug is what kept these predators doing what they do.
Look, this was common knowledge, right? Like they put it off for a week or so to actually anything about it.
2 weeks.
Right. But everyone was aware of it. So if it's somebody that was obviously aware of this and knowing that this took place and you still write a letter of recommendation, like I can't really comprehend that.
Brian in Buffalo Grove, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good.
It's a different topic already. But anyways, hey, this stems to a bigger issue, I think, with the Blackhawks on the front office side. If you think about this, Bill Peters was a Rockford IceHogs bench coach, and they had the racist slurs with Akeem Alou, and that led to his firing in Calgary as the head coach there. So I think a lot of this stems to Al McIsaacs, who used to be the general manager of the Blackhawks. I mean the Rockford IceHogs right when they moved to Rockford from Norfolk.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, like, they've got a lot. They've got a lot of things to take care of these days.
I'm going to have to read this and go through it. I think that there you can follow, follow the clues with regard to how the civil suits eventually play out as well. Like, again, the issue that you and I were most kind of bothered by, and don't get me wrong, we've been bothered by a lot of it, was that there was no mention of the fact that he was able to participate in all of these celebrations, and then somebody wrote him a letter of recommendation, and he found work at Miami of Ohio and then in high school and continued this predatory behavior.
Right.
Like, that's, to me, is...
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it doesn't get much worse than that. Dylan and Waukegan, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dylan?
I totally agree with what you guys said is the worst part about the letters of recommendation. But another part that's kind of being a little bit ignored was the part that happened this past year. So in May, the original report came out from TSN, and the Blackhawks put out a statement saying the allegations lack merit and we will be absolved of any wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. Wasn't until about 6 weeks later in June that the Jenner and Block investigations announced, and it wasn't another 6 weeks till August that they announced that they were going to make the results of the Jenner and Block investigation public.
Right.
So it seemed like they really didn't want this to be a thing. It's like, oh, we can just keep pushing it off and off and off. And just the mounting pressure led to them having to make this into a thing 10 years after they decided they didn't want to make it into a thing.
Dylan, this is a team with Stan Bowman. Where Stan, they said in this report that Stan was the guy who cooperated the most. So as this investigation is going on, they allowed him to go and remake the franchise and commit millions of dollars and put his stamp on this team, not for just this year, but for the next 5-6 years. Like, what? Like, they were in denial. Why would they allow him to do this if he was upfront about it to begin with his involvement?
I also think it was either when they announced the investigation, they announced that it was going to be public, was like the day before the draft.
I believe you are correct.
So they're letting him make all their draft picks and all the trades a day after this huge news breaks about that could potentially change the face of the scandal. So
you would think, too, that was a signal that they thought this wasn't going to be the explosive report that it was. Why else would you allow? Wouldn't you just remain status quo?
Yes.
You would kind of just put a freeze on all big decisions?
But were they really wanting to find out the results? As they continued to say, as he mentioned, based on our investigation, we believe the allegations against the organization lack merit. And that was back on May 13th.
Maybe they were confident that the Jenner and Block report was going to absolve them.
This was a month before they commissioned Jenner and Block.
Okay.
So this is a month before.
Right. So they were.
This comes out. They're in total denial. They waited a month, keep in mind, between the lawsuits being out there and then them going for the independent investigation while they continue to spend money and try to sell season tickets.
Not a good look.
No. All of it. Then and now and everything in between. Ethan in Portage Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, guys. I just want to say I'm 25 years old, and the Blackhawks are the most successful team in my lifetime. Like, I love the Cubs, and we all worship the Bears. I don't remember Michael. I remember him in a Wizards jersey. But, like, I went from not knowing hockey to absolutely worshiping these guys. And just to put some context, and, like, you know, the Blackhawks fandom, it was dead before, like, Taze and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they might be in turmoil for a while. And the fandom might not be able to bounce back. Like, you got crazy guys like me that'll keep coming, but, like, there's plenty of people that they won't ever go to a Hawks game again, probably. Just, I just want to put that out there. Like, this really could put the organization back years and years.
You're absolutely right. I will never say never because they were stuck in the Stone Ages forever. But this is not as simple as...
No, but like I... listen, the cynic in me believes that in the world of sports, despite the serious nature of the conversation, when you win at the highest level, people have a tendency to have a short memory. I'm not glossing over it. What I'm saying to you, addressing his point, if this team finds its way back, you know, on track with regard to playing good hockey and doing things the right, people will, over the course of time, forget or give them the benefit of the doubt or move on, however you want to describe it.
But that's what I'm least confident in.
Well,
I believe the worst is yet to come for their performance. And that's, what, that's what it's always about. Like, this is a team right now stuck in the middle, and they're built to, quote, go for it now, whatever they're going for. I don't know.
And now you have, you have a complete and total stalemate with management.
Right. You have nobody running the team now except an interim guy. You're going to need a new coach eventually, or they're going to simply keep Colleton because they just need to be, have a consistent voice inside that locker room right now. So that's my point, that you're eventually going to have to blow this up because this team, you're going to eventually part company with Kane and Taves. You parted company with Keith.
Yeah.
And then you've built this team, as Yurko and Carmen have said, to average a point per game.
Well,
and they're underachieving from that to begin with.
Well, and listen, they just signed a big they traded for and signed a big, you know, Seth Jones to a huge contract extension.
That's my point. That this is, in my belief, with this bad news and this current losing that they're on just in the beginning of this season, that the worst is yet to come performance-wise from this team. Stuck with this terrible PR, I believe we're going to be entering another dark age for the Blackhawks where no one is going to want to pay that money for their tickets.
It's just now a matter of how long will that period last.
Right.
And it could, well, it looks like it could last for a while.
Right. 332-3776 if you want to react to all of this. Today, too, in my opinion, ranks up there, despite this stuff from the Blackhawks, as an anniversary day that could be in the top five of Chicago sports anniversary days with a compilation of what's out there.
All right.
I will bring that to you coming up next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
We always have fun with remembering certain big sports days in the city of Chicago. But this date, what is it, October 26th? With this combo, Waddle, is this the biggest sports anniversary date?
Give it to me.
In Chicago, all right? This happened in 2005.
Here's the 1-2 pitch to Palmeiro. A ground ball past Jenks up the middle of the infield. Uribe has it. He throws. Out! A White Sox winner and a world championship! The White Sox have won the World Series, and they're mobbing each other on the field.
All right, so that is of obviously the White Sox winning the World Series, one of two World Series in the modern era by a Chicago baseball team. Not a lot to pick from.
No.
And then you go back to 1984 on this date. It was Michael Jordan's debut in a Bulls uniform.
Here is the man. They call him Mr. Jordan in Chicago. The standing ovation in front court to Jordan. Looking for penetration. Spin move. Hangs in the air off the glass. It is. And that's what Wes and I were talking about. Out of three attempts. Jordan, spin move. Bradley, great defense to get back. Jordan goes up, hits it, and is fouled by Bradley. Getting into the front court. Jordan with the pass off to Corzine. He scores. They go to Woolridge outside. Watley with the J. Too short. Rebound. Jordan. He got it. Jordan to the hoop. Hang in the air. Score.
Chicago Stadium was rocking back on that date. So we have the debut of Michael and a World Series championship on the same day.
Did we call him Mr. Jordan when he first got here?
I don't remember that. I was 13. I was Air Jordan is what basically everyone was calling him.
I don't remember. You would remember. I know he was the third pick in the draft.
Yes. Olajuwon and Sam Bowie went 1-2.
What did you know about him when he came here?
The thing that was so big was AE1 in North Carolina in his freshman year.
Right.
But his coming out party, basically, where people realized that maybe he's even way better than the third pick in the draft. That summer, they went to the Olympics after he was drafted, and he was the best player on the Olympic team.
So that was your Olympic team. That was your first look into this
in
this
world. Bob Knight had said it's the best player I've ever coached.
Really?
Yeah, and he was the best, and that was a great Olympic team. Really, like Barkley didn't even make that Olympic team. Patrick Ewing was on it. Wayman Tisdale. I got to look at the
roster. Was that back in the day when they were all
amateurs?
All amateurs.
So he was great, and they won gold 1984. Then it just started, and he was incredible.
So you were all jacked up.
Jacked up. Yeah. I'm like, this guy. And then he played. Like, one of the finger rolls in that highlight is like Dr. J, the way he would finger roll it, you know, with the, like George Gervin, you know.
And didn't he have a foot injury his rookie year?
Second year. Yeah. So he basically sat out, I think it was like the third or fourth game of the season against Golden State. And then he came back in the playoffs that year and scored 63 against Boston.
Yeah, I remember some of that from The Last Dance.
Yeah. So that's on a lighter note. You know, we have all this Blackhawks stuff. Jake and Skokie wanted to get after the Blackhawks. Jake, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. A long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Just to piggyback of what Patty B said a couple of hours ago, you know, in terms of, well, if this was the Bears, would this have been a bigger story? You know, like, never forget, while Ben Polk, Mark Lazarus, and other Blackhawks beat reporters worked tirelessly on ensuring that this story didn't die, and especially you guys at ESPN 1000, I personally want to thank you guys for not letting this story die. It's a fact that, you know, the vast majority of prominent national sports media and, you know, some sports insiders made zero concrete efforts to propel this story. Some chose to be silent. And I just want to ask that, is it because, well, compared to the Penn State stuff and the U.S. gymnastics story, is it because there's a stigma of, oh, whatever, it's just hockey, so, like, what's the point? And I'll just listen to that. And thank you guys so much.
I don't have a good answer for you, Jake, unfortunately, as to why it's not, quote unquote, a bigger story. I think it's blossomed into a really big story.
Right.
Thanks to Lazarus. And
Tia, like, again, like in Canada, they've really been covering this. Mark Lazarus joked that he's gotten like text from every Canadian radio station today wanting him to come on. This is huge, huge news. This is about one of the great runs in Chicago sports history getting tarnished now. Every man that you looked up to in that front office, at least, has, you probably lost a little respect. And knew about it, and you may have lost a little respect, I would think, for all of them. Yeah, at the very least. At the very least. So this is going to be continued to talk about in Chicago sports. If you want to continue to call, be our guest starting tomorrow with Cap and J Hood. We have World Series baseball coming up. So it's game one of the World Series between Houston and Atlanta.
You will not be cheering for either the Braves or the Astros, or you will be cheering for the Braves because you hate the Astros and Dusty Baker.
I don't really have a rooting interest. Okay. I probably lean Braves on this. It's almost like I'm not. I'll probably get into it, but thanks to Pat Boyle and Barstool Big Cat. World Series action next. Thanks to Black and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? What I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.